good afternoon. Good news is I'm on an early flight, so it won't be terribly long today. I have about 30 minutes before I've got to go. But on Thursday, I'm leading a delegation of senior ministers and business leaders to Sydney for the annual New Zealand Leaders Meeting and joint meeting of senior cabinet ministers. I'm looking forward to meeting with Prime Minister Tony Abbott again, of course, and building on the close working relationship that's developed between our two governments and our two countries. The visit will provide me with an opportunity to thank him in person for inviting New Zealand to join the G20 meeting, which Australia is hosting in Brisbane later this year, and discuss our joint response to New Zealand and Australia's Productivity Commission's report. The joint meeting of cabinet ministers is a good opportunity to set the agenda for the trans-Tasman relationship and allows ministers to engage directly with their counterparts on a range of issues and identify areas where we can build close cooperation. Just in terms of activities this week, tomorrow I'll be in Auckland, and then on Wednesday I'll travel to Waitangi, as I do every year. This year when I speak at the Prime Minister's breakfast, I intend to talk about the government's record on treaty settlements. I'll be highlighting the fact that we've signed 41 deeds of settlement since National came to office in 2008. And virtually all iwi willing and able to settle are engaged with the Crown. We picked up the pace because we believe it's in everyone's interest to have this process complete. We'll also be talking about Māori economic development and our reforms to the Te Tuhi Whenua Māori Act, which we believe is central to lifting opportunities for Māori. As in previous years, I'll be welcomed onto Te Te Marae on Wednesday morning, attend the iwi leaders forum and witness the big retreat ceremony at sunset. On Thursday, I'll deliver a speech at Prime Minister's breakfast, and then we're obviously leaving for Australia Thursday afternoon. Questions?
So just looking at certain potential makeups of the Parliament after the election, how do you think New Zealanders will feel if the government is made up by the less popular party, i.e. the more popular party is in opposition?
Well, I've always thought that there's an argument that the largest party has a moral mandate to have the first reasonable shot at forming a government. If they can do so, they should be able to do so. But constitutionally, that's not actually a valid argument. In the end, it's about getting, fundamentally, a majority in the parliament. But I think as a general rule, New Zealanders have taken the view that the largest party should have the first crack at forming a government.
And in terms of Winston Peters, do you think that the public's view has softened towards National working with him in terms of not ruling him out this time around?
Well, my sense would be more would be in favour of us working with him than not, if that meant that there was a National-led government for a third term. I think in the end, people might not love with us working with a whole bunch of different political parties, but MMP is designed to deliver that kind of outcome. And the second real important point is, for a lot of our supporters, they may not love New Zealand First or some of the other coalition partners we're thinking about, but they sure as little green apples don't want Labor Greens government.
Does the change in ACT leadership, the fact they're untested, these two, have you rethinking a possible deal with them?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're going to make a call on who we're going to work with in terms of what formal accommodations we might not have much closer to the election, as I pointed out last week. And really nothing changes because of the leadership selections.
Sorry, did that Jamie White selection surprise you at all?
No, I mean, look, I saw him at the function most of you attended, I think, on Wednesday night. At the time, he was talking me through the board makeup, and he was confident that he had the numbers. Now, lots of politicians are, but in the end, he was confident he would get there, so I wasn't entirely surprised.
Does he strike you as a stable individual in the likes of Johnson's game?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the first time I met him. I thought he was a thoroughly good, decent guy. He seems to communicate well. I saw him breakfast TV this morning. I thought he came across well. David Seymour, I don't know, but again, limited bits I've seen on TV, seems articulate. But in the end, ACT have obviously decided to make a generational change and to present a new and fresh faces for the party, and in the end, that's about it for them.
Has Paul Goldsmith been told not to seek votes for himself?
No, I mean, look, as I said to you, I'm quite keen to be as transparent as I can be prior to the election. I'm definitely intent to do that. And obviously one of those decisions comes around what we do at Epsom. Everyone's aware of that. But we'll make that call much closer to election day.
Will Paul Goldsmith stand in Epsom?
He's been selected as National's candidate.
Is the school of thought that you proposed a flag referendum to shore up the deal with Brussels?
Everyone will same range of views. I mean, as I said last week, that's an issue that I think is worthy of senior ministers having a discussion about whether they want to advance. And it's one of those issues that's sort of been percolating around for quite a long period of time. So I think we do need to reach a decision about whether we're going to test the public's appetite for that or not. I mean, my views on it are now well known. To me, it fits into a kind of nation building sort of issue about, you know, where we see ourselves going, how we want to identify ourselves. But in the end, we haven't had that discussion with senior ministers. We'll do that in the fullness of time. But, you know, what the electoral implications of it are, like so many other issues, very difficult to dissect one on their own.
But why not? What motivated you to change your sort of impetus last week?
Well, I mean, firstly, I was asked directly the question about, you know, the flag again. But I don't think actually a hell of a lot's changed from last week to some time earlier. I mean, we've been asked about that issue. I've always said I think it's actually quite a challenging issue here across the line. I think it's evenly balanced, but not impossible, actually, to get a majority there. At the end of the day, you know, there's so many issues we're going to have to consider what National is going to do as its position is going into the election war if it wins a third term.
When did you start thinking about having a referendum? When did that come into your mind?
Well, late last year, I started thinking through a bit more of the issues about how and whether we could get that issue up. I mean, look, in the end, I've always been of the view you couldn't just change the flag without a referendum, so there's nothing terribly unique about that.
When did you start thinking about having a referendum at this election?
Well, all of those decisions about timing have yet to be made, and also indeed whether we'll advance it. It's something, you know, we genuinely have to go through with our guys. Come back to you in the fullness of time.
I guess what Andrew's point is, and the point of many people who speak about it, is why did you suddenly come out with it at a plastics factory that you wanted to have a referendum on the New Zealand flag?
Well, it wasn't because I want a plastic flag. It was because I was asked the question to answer it.
Have you planned on announcing it closer to Waitangi?
Well, it doesn't matter when exactly the timing of saying that. I mean, at the end I've said it and I'm happy I have.
So when will you discuss it with senior ministers?
Oh, sometime next month or so.
Well, have you asked for any officials' advice?
Had some advice on.
You talked about as
new advice.
They asked me whether I want more of it, and I will be getting some more. But I've had some over the years.
What was the advice?
It depends on which question you're asking, but there's a range of different things. They just talk about the process of what and how you can do things in some history.
How soon did they indicate that there could possibly be a referendum or change of flag?
Well, they don't. They just give advice. You know, if you want specific advice on timing, they'll, you know, the electoral office will always give you advice on how much time they think they need in the process and all those sorts of things. I've had a range of different advice in that kind of area in the past.
Did they cost you? Talk about closer cooperation with Australia. What are your areas do you see?
I think there's a range of things. I mean, obviously, it's our most important relationship, and it's probably our broadest relationships. Of course, there'll be economic issues that we talk about in terms of capital investment, in terms of basically investment with each other and trade with each other. But equally, we're both co-hosting the Cricket World Cup next year. We'll both be commemorating 100 years of the Gallipoli campaign. We'll be wanting to talk about that. Obviously, we will raise the issue again of New Zealanders in Australia. We're talking about that. There's a number of areas where we work, and I'd expect us to go through all of those.
How high is the minimum wage likely to go in April?
Well, my expectations will be that it will go up. It's gone up every year that we've been in office, and you'll have to wait and see what the final number is, but I'm sure we can speculate on one.
Is the government likely to take a consistent approach?
Probably. I mean, we always try and balance simple facts of what do we think the market can pay without impacting on people's jobs. That's really the balancing act. And I think we've got that balance about right. I mean, we've been quite brave, I think, some years. I mean, the labour markets haven't been easy over the last 5 years, and we've slowly pushed up minimum wage. And, you know, we'll continue to do that. I mean, we want people to earn as high wages as we can, but we just don't think legislating per se is the answer for all of that. And it's a relatively small number of people on the minimum wage. I think from here it's about 90,000 approximately. But obviously it has a flow-on effect for people that earn near the minimum wage.
Given that it's getting things are getting easier in the labour market, is there a case to go above 25 cents?
There might be. I mean, yeah, at the margins.
Would you expect employers themselves to be increasing wage inflation more this year?
Well, I think Bill made those comments that he had an expectation that it's likely they'll want to do a bit of that. I mean, as the labour markets get tighter, you can certainly see some industries where labour rates are rising, construction being one obvious area where there's now pressure. Some of these very heavily skilled areas, you also see pressure in the labour markets. Inflation's likely to be a little higher this year than it was last year. So I'd expect to see wage rounds going through, I don't know, 2 or 3%, but we still see.
Will it be lifted to $14 an hour?
Well, we'll come back with the exact number and view it some.
There's a case over the Court of Appeal, these
Kira's,
is there discrimination against females when it comes to pay in New Zealand?
Well, look, when that case actually comes out, we'll be in a position to respond, but it's before the courts, and I'll get in deep trouble if I start coming on it today.
In general, though, across the workforce?
Well, I just would be really nervous about commenting about that today.
When will you be making an announcement about the minimum wage?
Don't know the exact timing. Mr. Bridges will be able to let you know, but I've had some discussions with him too.
Prime Minister, when might you make an announcement about Genesis?
Not today. I know there's been lots of rumours going around today, but not today. But, soon. I mean, again, senior ministers did talk about that issue last week. It's no secret that we'd like to complete the government's program. We believe there is a position where we'll be taking advice on when we can take Genesis to the market. So soon. Don't know the exact time of that yet.
Are you confident the sale will proceed?
I'm very much of the view it's going to take place. I certainly haven't seen any contrary advice. In fact, I saw some advice last night which certainly indicated that a sale is definitely a possibility, and Treasury were confident we could do it.
Do you have any worries about, given, again, the opinion polls and, what have you, that it could impact negatively on your support in election year?
I don't think so, really. I mean, to me, it was the big issue of 2011, but it's not really going to be the big issue of 2014. I mean, if by then, the program will have been completed. I think it's highly unlikely National will go into the 2014 election promising more sales. I think we've had a good program that's worked effectively. There isn't really much that would fit the criteria that was applied to the current companies. So I think it's a bit of a 2011 issue myself.
And presumably this year, too, an election year, there might be use of a future investment fund to try and play up as what you see the benefits of the process.
Well, to us, it's always been about being able to buy new assets without having more debt on the balance sheet and actually having those companies operate more efficiently. And those two things are absolutely relevant. They're not just relevant because it's election. Why now?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think
the prices of all of those that you've floated so far have sunk.
Well, that's not strictly true, is it? I mean, I haven't looked at Meridian today, but Meridian last time I looked was pretty much at its float level. Yeah, okay, MRP is lower than when we floated it, although it does have a bonus issue that comes with it, so loyalty share, so it's not quite as bad as it looks. But all of them are reasonably high dividend stocks, assuming they stick to the dividend program. So, look, at the end of the day, things are worth what the market will pay for them. I don't think the dynamics are going to change around the electricity sector, so they're a known commodity. But in my view, having the mixed ownership program has been the right thing to do. It certainly has ensured that we have less debt, and it will, actually, in my view, deliver greater efficiency from those companies and the way that they operate.
Do you think that
$15
an hour is reasonable?
One day.
Did Cabinet discuss the election day?
No.
When will you be in a position to know the date for the election? You did it relatively early.
Last time, when you think about it, we had the Rugby World Cup. I was actually quite keen to get the date out there, because in reality, if we changed the government prior to the Rugby World Cup, given the significance of that event and all the planning, we would have to have an election quite a long way in front of that. So it was always going to be after that, and given that's the case, it was a fairly limited window. Actually, there's still a limited window in reality. We're not a government that's looking to run to the polls, but we're not scared of going there. I don't think there's a massive electoral advantage in me holding that date really close to my chest. Everyone knows we're having an election. We'll know it's in the second half of this year. So I'll name it. I don't need to do that today. So I don't know exactly when it'll be, but well and truly before.
Have you got
a
lockdown? I mean, have you got the date locked in?
No. I know a few exactly, maybe. You know, if it's a complicated election, you know, as your poll showed last night, could be, then that can take quite a lot longer to put together a government. You've always got to wait 2 weeks for the special before you even start going. It's just not as straightforward a process if you don't have a clean outcome.
Could the Prime Minister, i.e. yourself, go to the G20 in the middle of the election campaign? I mean, it's only over Brisbane in a couple of days.
Yeah, look, you can do anything you want to do, but yeah, I just don't think that's likely.
So you're sort of saying you wouldn't mind getting it sorted out before the G20?
Or after.
Prime Minister, feelings of Waitangi have...
that nails it down roughly, doesn't it?
feelings of Waitangi have run pretty hot in the past.
Yep.
Are you anticipating any issues that could cause problems there this year?
In all probability, yes. I mean, it is Waitangi after all, and you know, you always have a group of protesters there who want to make a lot of noise while the camera's on. It's a bit sad, but it's the way it operates. You've got a hikoi going up there, or some sort of protest around deep sea drilling, and I think there's another one as well. I think there's a couple of particular events. So I think time roughly coincide with when I go on the Marae. So look, it might be really calm and happy families, but I doubt it.
Have they got good reason to protest?
Look, people are free to protest if they like, but this is in Waitangi, in Northland, where you've got some of the poorest economic conditions and where mining would provide employment for local people. Personally, I think it would be a great thing in Northland.
Is Tidipai Harawira going to take you on to the Marae? What's your...
Well, I haven't been advised that she's not going to. She simply has every other year, so I imagine she will.
Is your preference to use the surpluses after 2014-15 for tax cuts or for debt repayment?
Well, you really asked me to unveil all of our election promises or whatever. Look, you should expect us to continue to operate in what I think is a fiscally responsible way for New Zealand. And the Finance Minister's already made it clear that he expects to see debt repayment as an important part of what we do, and that won't be changing. Whether there's room for anything else, you have to come and ask me another day.
You talked about the flag before as a nation building exercise. I'm wondering, how does that relate to the dynamics around Waitangi Day? Like, what direction do you see nation building going in, and who would that be for?
I think our National Day is of great significance to New Zealanders, and one of the things that's disappointing about when you see the kind of protests on the day before, Tuesday the day before Waitangi Day, there's only that it can give people, as in you know, the wide range of New Zealanders who see that, the wrong impression of what actually happens at Waitangi. Because my experience of it is, when I turn up, or Helen Clark's Prime Minister, and she turned up, for the purposes of the cameras, there's lots of protesters. As soon as you guys pack up and go somewhere else, they go home, and actually it's a really nice family day at Waitangi. And it's actually usually a nice family day around the rest of New Zealand. Now, I think there are lots of New Zealanders who would say, why don't we have that all the time, kind of, up there. It's not that people shouldn't protest. I'm just saying that's one of the disappointing things that happens there.
$14.25 an hour sound
for the minimum wage. Well, you can pick all sorts of numbers that you like, but you know, I'm not going to announce it today because, A, it's not my responsibility to do that, and secondly, we're not ready to do that yet. There will almost seem to be a move in the minimum wage. I think we've been pretty fair on what we've done in the past, and there probably will be in the future.
Can I ask you a question on the Christchurch rebuild? Government's earmarked, I think, about $1.8 billion for the horizontal infrastructure rebuild. You've capped
it. That's through Scourge, you mean?
Yeah. There's some noises coming out of Christchurch suggesting that may not be enough, that the government may need to contribute more, or else it'll run more slowly than you'd hoped. Have you got any thoughts about that?
Look, there's always lots of discussions happening between the council and Jerry Brownlee. I'm sure that they'll continue, but that allocation for the horizontal infrastructure was on the best advice that we've had. I haven't seen anything yet from memory from Jerry that says that we won't make it on those on that allocation. But let's see.
So no proposals have been put to you by the council or any of the other advisors there that needs to be...
They're constantly talking to Sarah and to Jerry, so I can't say they haven't gone and asked for more money or want to do more things. You've seen lots of discussions about them looking at all sorts of issues as a new council. But at the moment, I think all I'd say is the government is the best advice I can recall, happy with where we're going at the moment.
Would you be able to increase that budget if it's necessary? Would you like to stay with the current programme?
I think we're pretty fully allocated to Christchurch at the moment, so I don't think you'd be wanting to increase that unless there was a really incredibly good case to do so.
Jamie White has previously espoused views about abolishing labour and health and safety laws. He now says he wants those to be Act policy.
Right.
Would you be open to that?
Well, I suspect he's written a lot of stuff. I don't know, but he's been a philosopher and commentator and has written lots and lots of articles, so I'm sure there's plenty of material out there. Look, in the end, Act will always have a range of views, as is likely other coalition partners that either we don't agree with or we don't intend to implement. I don't know what he'll specifically argue for if they get anywhere near being in government. But in principle, I reckon the labour law settings we have in New Zealand are about right. And when it comes to health and safety, actually there's room for improvement, particularly in certain industries like forestry. And that's why WorkSafe New Zealand, and in fact the government has been commissioning a lot of work in that area. So exactly by, the point you made, what issues he's arguing, I don't know how relevant they are. I was just on Breakfast TV saying he had some personal views on drugs, which is not going to be the party's policy, so you'd have to ask him.
What's the point of giving these parties like ACT and United Future electoral deals or support when they're on zero? Like, what's... Explain for New Zealand.
Well, it might be none if they're on zero, but, I think it's really important that we all understand that one political poll does not mean an election result. I mean, in the end, polls are polls. They're a snapshot of 1,000 people. I might, at the margins, agree or disagree, and I'm not saying I disagree, I'm just simply saying that come an election, people are going to go out and vote. You see all those results, then I can tell you what the makeup of the government's going to look like. But, we'll see how it all pans out. A lot can change between now and election day.
Yeah, I guess the point is this. Why, explain to the average New Zealander why you're prepared to accommodate parties that, regardless of the poll results, are essentially flatlining, barely alive, couldn't win anything without you.
Okay, that's a really good question. And put it to me, two or three weeks before an election, I'll give you the answer, because I'll have a much clearer idea of what their polling is like. But if today I can't tell you exactly what it's like, I can tell you what it's like on the Read Research 3 News poll for last week, but we're not having an election in 3 weeks' time.
So is that the sort of timing you're thinking of about, when your decisions on accommodations are going to be getting close to the election?
Relatively close, yeah.
But how worried are you? Because consistently those parties have actually been polling at zilch. So, just how worried are you that, your support parties are doing so badly, which...
Yeah, typically, I will say one thing, we always find it even with our polls with the smaller parties to pick up their exact support levels. I mean, it's quite tough because you're dealing with 1,000 people and they don't always get their 1,000 people. Any poll is neutrally, balanced across the country and across the ethnicity and income levels and things. And it's not quite the same as when you get into, they might have a huge amount of support in one particular area, a political party like Conservatives or ACT or whatever it might be. But the reality is, all of those questions are valid questions, but they are decisions that we need to make, whether we want to do an accommodation with people or not. But we're not going to base that off some data of today. We'll do that from data very close to the election.
So in terms of your transparency about electoral accommodations, the New Zealand public will learn of that in the election campaign?
Well, near the campaign. Look, I can't tell you the exact day, but it's much closer to the election than today. Today's a long way away from that. There's no point in us making that decision today. What I do intend to do, if possible, is be as transparent and try and say, for these reasons, this is why we think this is either necessary or not. But we haven't made those decisions today.
So if there's still a poll in zero at that time where you decide that you're going to be more transparent, what are you going to do then?
Well, we'll make that call at the time and we'll decide whether we think it's worth it or not. I mean, the reality is that when they won Epsom in 2008, that effectively got National over the line. I mean, that's also been true of Peter Dunne. I mean, under this environment, it's a very complex set of circumstances, but, there's a massive difference depending on, whether New Zealand First gets above 5 or below 5, whether someone wins a seat or not. There's lots of different complicating factors here.
If they're on zero, they'd be an overhang seat. Surely it's better for you that they get over the line than not, isn't it?
That's what I mean. It could be, but Let's wait and see.
I mean, is that one of your calculations, this one, that, you know, on zero and getting overhang, it helps National?
It could be, but, I mean, again, in the end, let's go and have a look. I mean, they themselves are arguing quite rightly that with a new leadership team, they're going to go out there and try and build their vote. Come and ask me those questions here in the lunch.
Because it's pretty mathematical, isn't it? When you get down to overhang, it's even beyond deals. It's like the average person can't even understand how the overhang works. And it's almost like if that's the reason for doing it.
Yeah, but MMP is a complex system. We've never delivered an outright majority. It requires parties to coalesce with each other. You know, our thought process on that is absolutely no different to Labour's thought process and lots of other political parties.
Don't you think
it's the nature of the system.
Sorry. Don't you think helping a party that might be zero or near zero to get a seat to get you into government is almost the definition of gerrymandering?
Well, it depends, and it depends on lots of different circumstances. But in the end, let's just wait and see what they poll at the time. We'll work out then whether we think it's something we should be doing or not.
Do you think you could govern if you needed the Māori Party to get a majority on everything?
Yeah, I mean, we have worked very effectively with them over the last, you know, five, six years. But, you know, if they control the balance of power like any other political party, then they may have more influence.
Because they vote against you about 80% of the time, wouldn't that hamper your own?
Well, they're bound by confidence and supply, ultimately, so, you know, more stuff might go through a budget, I suppose, or on confidence motions. But, again, that's all a bit hypothetical today. Okay. It's not hypothetical.